Joe Frank and Reynolds. They had like one or two hit songs. That's about it. And we never heard from them again. I wonder what they're doing today. All right. Remember Bill Murray is trapped in the same day over and over and over and over and over again in the movie Groundhog Day? Well, the studio refused to greenlight the movie Groundhog Day without an explanation of why Phil becomes trapped in the same day. So director Harold Ramis and producer of the movie appeased the studio. They said, okay, we'll film it and we'll tell you why he's trapped. They deliberately placed the scenes too late in the shooting schedule to be filmed. And to this day, we have no idea why Bill Murray is trapped in the same day over and over and over again. Somebody figured out the math on how many days or years go by while he's trapped in the same day. If you want to go down to the film set, you can. It's in Woodstock, Illinois. The whole movie was filmed right there in the downtown square in Woodstock, and they have it all marked off which scenes they filmed where, and you can look online for it. It's a lot of fun. Hey, speaking about movies, we've got Brett Hoffman coming up at 7:30 this morning. We'll tell you what's new with the movies. Come up in a moment. Dave Mack is here. David Mack is our alderman, but also a board member for Fourth Fest. We're talking about Fourth Fest coming up Thursday in just a moment. 7:01 now.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. President Biden and former President Trump traded attacks on their handling of the economy in the opening minutes of their 90-minute debate on CNN last night. In a voice made raspy by a cold, Biden said he rescued the economy after 4 years of the Trump presidency.
This guy has increased your taxes because of the deficit, number one. He's increased inflation because of the debacle he left after the way he handled the pandemic.
At the CNN presidential debate, Trump said he handed Biden a strong economy, and Biden ruined it.
He's the only one I know. He wants to raise your taxes by 4 times. He wants to raise everybody's taxes.
Trump unleashed a flurry of falsehoods. Biden's answers were often wandering and halting. The two are scheduled to debate again in September. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Now with more, here's Peter King.
Many Democrats have said they're concerned about the president's performance. CBS News contributor Joel Payne is a Democratic strategist.
I think on content, he was strong in some places and actually got a little bit stronger as the night went on. But in presentation, what many American people are going to judge our presidents on, he struggled.
The Biden campaign says he was struggling with a cold. Trump supporters like this Atlanta voter say he did well.
Some questions, you know, he didn't directly answer. He went and said what he wanted to say, but that's Trump. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Does the Bible belong in public schools? Oklahoma's top education official says it does. More from reporter Brad Gibson in Tulsa.
Calling the Bible, quote, one of the most foundational documents used for the Constitution, Superintendent Ryan Walters said Oklahoma school districts will be instructed to have a Bible in every classroom and teach from it as an instructional support tool. Andrew Seidel with Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
Public schools are not Sunday schools. Ryan Walters has repeatedly made clear that he is incapable of distinguishing the difference.
The directive is expected to be met with major legal challenges. Brad Gibson for CBS News, Tulsa.
Britain's Princess Anne is back home after being hospitalized with a concussion and minor head injuries. She was reportedly knocked down by a horse at her country estate Sunday. Buckingham Palace says that hospitalization was precautionary. Well, here's one choice from last night's second round of the NBA draft we think will surprise absolutely nobody.
The Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James from the University of Southern California.
And of course, that's the son of Lakers star LeBron James, and they'll be the first NBA father and son to play on the same team at the same time. Major League Baseball's Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. did that back in the 90s with Seattle. Wall Street, before the open, S&P futures are up 20. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks. With 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin, go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, good morning, and for Stuart J. Waddles, I'm Chris Morrow. Oak Creek last night saw a tragedy with three young men going into Lake Michigan. The rough waters made it tough to rescue them. Two did get out. One remains in critical condition this morning. A third young man died of drowning in the rough water last night. Up in the Pewaukee, Waukesha area, tragic accident at a construction site left one construction worker dead, another in the hospital, and one of the drivers involved also losing her life. With the holiday season approaching, authorities are warning people to please slow down in construction zones to avoid tragedies like that. Here in Racine County this weekend, Breakfast on the Farm has been rescheduled. Of course, it got rained out last week out near Burlington. Tomorrow morning, 7 to 11 a.m., they're going to do Breakfast on the Farm at the county fairgrounds near Union Grove. You can get a great breakfast of eggs, meat, sausage, all kinds of fun desserts and fruit, too. It's $10 at the gate, and it will be indoors. So if the rain continues early tomorrow morning, you still have a chance to enjoy Breakfast on the Farm. And that's what you need to know this morning. We'll have more news at the bottom of the hour. And if you want to catch our newscast, you'll hear them the top and bottom throughout the day and online on demand at WRJN.com.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Bucks add a forward. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks used their second-round draft pick on Tyler Smith, a 6'9" forward out of Houston, Texas, just 19 years old. Assistant GM Milt Newton on what the Bucks saw in Smith.
Tyler, huge upside, tremendous talent, humble young man, hungry. The fact that he can shoot the ball at 6'10", 6'11", put some weight on, he'll be able to play some four and some five. Someone that we see having great upside that can help our organization for years to come.
Smith has a wingspan of 7'1". What position does he see himself playing in?
I'm definitely a combo forward at the league, like 3-4, but it was just a situation our big got hurt. So, you know, just being able to show I could play multiple positions and it just helped my team in any way possible, but more so on the wing, 3-4.
Baseball, the first place Milwaukee Brewers open up a 3-game weekend home series tonight against manager Craig Counsell and the last place Chicago Cubs. They are 10.5 games behind Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers today. Our high 77 this afternoon with wind out of the south at 10 to 20. Rain and thunderstorms tonight, 68. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 85. Then on Sunday, sunshine with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
I was watching Animal Planet. Do you know that the male seahorse has the baby? And I was thinking, what?
I went to my nephew's high school graduation. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in the human species in my life. I'm in the stands. This woman gets on the microphone. She tried so hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful day here with all these graduates. We're gonna ask you in advance to please not applaud or cheer when your individual child or friend is called, because we have way too many graduates. And it would not be fair to the people at the end of the alphabet. We're going to give everybody an opportunity at the end of the ceremony to give a big simultaneous round of applause for everyone. But please, when your individual child or family member is called, please don't applaud at that time. Okay, thank you in advance for understanding. Okay, here we go. Let's get started with our first graduate, Aaron Anderson.
Yeah! Aaron! Aaron!
Are we the smartest species? We're top of the food chain.
I so wish, while he was yelling, that a clamp would have descended from the darkness of the ceiling, like one of those claw games, just right above him, and then just clamped onto his ribs and just pulled him up, a whooping and a hollering, a legs a flailing, just pulled him up into the darkness. I don't want him to die. I just never want to see him again.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature.
request. We never usually take requests, but I did this morning because our special guest is the biggest Elvis fan, David Mack, our alderman, and also fourth best board member. I got to ask you something. When this whole thing happened...
Wait a minute. We forgot the dedication. That song goes out to Amy Mack.
who's not the biggest Elvis fan, but she said, because of you,
yes. She,
through osmosis, became an Elvis fan.
Well, you know, she was... I caught her singing in the shower one time. An Elvis, Elvis song. I think she was singing the refrain to Suspicious Minds or something. And when I... Oh, yeah. There was another song. We were in Memphis, and she says, oh, it's the Stockholm Syndrome, because I make her listen to Elvis on the Elvis radio station.
Yeah, it is Stockholm Syndrome, what you did there.
Said, admit it, Amy. You really do like Elvis.
And you take two. This poor woman wants to sit down to eat at the restaurant, and she's always forced to... Take a picture in front of her food.
Her own.
But she's always forced to take a picture of her food. And I'm waiting to see a sign, like a wink or something, to, you know, a cry for help in that picture. I was going to say, speaking about Elvis for a second, how the heck did those scam artists think they were going to get away with taking over Graceland? It's not like you're taking over some house in a neighborhood where nobody knows about. It's one of the most known landmarks in the world, and they think they're going to scam Riley Keough, the granddaughter. They think they're going to scam her out of this great land. How do they think they was going to pull that off?
When I saw they were foreclosing, I got a hold of my buddy. We were going to go down to Memphis to the sheriff's sale, and we were going to bid on Graceland. Why not? You know, own a piece of history. But then it was revealed that it was a scam. I'm like,
how did they think they were going to pull this off?
Exactly.
Did they really think she was just going to hand the keys over and this is it?
Thought she was an absentee landlord or something. I don't know. It's just very, very bizarre,
now,
strange.
Do you know what they doing? What happened to the scam artists? Are they going after them?
I do not know. I haven't followed it since
then. Don't you remember the Memphis Mafia or something?
Yeah. I'm an honorary member of the Memphis Mafia.
And you don't know what's going on?
They haven't called us there to...
We've got to take care of these guys, these scam artists. They were going to take away Graceland. Now we got to do something with them. I hate to think if something mean befell upon these people.
Yeah, I don't think Elvis's Memphis Mafia operated in those ways, but
I don't think they talk like this either, like they came from the Bronx. Okay, not alderman. We're not talking about your alderman duties right now. We're talking about Fourth Fast is coming up Thursday, less than a week away now.
Yes,
and it's the big Fourth Fest parade. Now this is the parade that's been continuous for how many years? Do you know offhand?
Was it 88?
It's been a long time.
I believe this could be our 88th parade.
And why it's continuous is they did something interesting during COVID. Now, they couldn't hold the full-blown parade because they didn't want people along the sidelines with COVID. So you had like four vehicles come racing down Main Street.
Little bit more than that, but
was it? It was more than four?
it wasn't much, but the Wienermobile was there. Yeah. We had Miss Wisconsin there.
Well, this is what I heard. Now, I live on the parade route, and I heard, the Fourth Fest Parade is coming. The Fourth Fest Parade is coming. That was the Fourth Fest Parade. Thank you. It went by. But you know what? You kept it continuous.
Yes.
So now you can say it was... It's like, I mentioned this the other day. The New York Times, when there was a newspaper strike in New York, and they had like five or six newspapers in New York, maybe seven. The New York Times published one sheet. They didn't sell it, but they published it.
Yep.
So they can say they're the longest continuing running newspaper without missing one day.
Yep.
Just by putting one sheet, and they kept it, and that was it.
Well, you know, the thought was, you know, everything is shut down. You can't have these large gatherings. And planning the Fourth Fest Parade is a big part of many of our board members. It's the one civic thing that they do. Some of us are on multiple boards, but for some, they live and breathe Fourth Fest. If you cut them open, their blood would run red, white, and blue. And, you know, that's their thing. And to all of a sudden be told you can't have a parade was just devastating. And you know, we brainstormed some different ideas, but this idea of having a mini parade, taking it around town, and it was kind of a neat thing. We even ventured off into Mount Pleasant, I think, that morning. So we got to take it to parts of the community that don't normally see a parade come past their house. And, you know, quite frankly, I was impressed because it was more than I thought it was going to be. But it's still, you know, it wasn't the
parade. It makes it the continuous.
Yes.
It keeps it continuous. Yeah. It's, you know, I had Mark Eichner from the Pristine Concert Band in here yesterday, and this is their 102nd year. Mm. And now all they did have to cancel the concerts during COVID. However, just before COVID hit, they had a concert at one of the high schools. Mm. So they can claim 102 continuous years because they had it in there.
You know, Amy played Gene's Jazz Series that January, and it was, you know, real excited. It was a big gig for her. We put a band together with the help of Doug Klum, a local educator.
I know him, yeah.
Fantastic musician. And it was the only concert of the four concert series that they were able to get in. And, it, you know, by March, it was like, boom. COVID had hit and everything got canceled.
You know, you mentioned Doug Klum. Do you know he's related to the newspaper editor during the days? I don't know if it was Wild Bill Hickok or Wyatt Earp. There was a newspaper in town, and Klum was the editor and founder of the newspaper, and he's related to him.
Oh.
Yeah, I spoke to him once about that because I said, you know, I like to watch those old shows, and there was a character named Klum. He said, yeah, I think I'm related to him. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, David Mack is here from Fourth Fest. We have more coming up in a moment. Keep it right here at WRJN, local news, timeless hits.
After the loss of a loved one, you or someone close to you might benefit from grief support. Hospice Alliance is here to help. As your community hospice, individual, group, and even children's programs are available to help. Serving Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about Hospice Alliance's services and grief assistance. Visit hospicealliance.org.
Get your weekend off to a roaring start as Gateway Classic Cars presents Caffeine and Chrome this Saturday from 9 till noon. Gateway Classic Cars showcases a dazzling array of classic collector and exotic cars and trucks, making this event perfect for both serious enthusiasts and the occasional onlooker of vintage vehicles. Donuts and coffee will be served, and make sure you grab the newest posters. Feel the power and nostalgia this Saturday from 9 till noon. Caffeine and Chrome at Gateway Classic Cars, located on 4 Mile Road in Caledonia. See you there.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Get ready to go all in for cash battles at Pottawatomie. This June, go head-to-head with your fellow club members for a chance at your share of 200 grand in cash. Play with your club card for entries. Hourly drawings on June 6th and 20th from 4 to 8 p.m. Each drawing, two winners split 20 grand. Cash battles at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It's the biggest cash bash of the summer. More info at paysbig.com. Must be 21 and a club member to play.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Vollman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits. WRJN.
David Mack is here, Fourth Fest board member. And last time you were in here, I was looking in this hole before the Main Street Bridge, north of the Main Street Bridge, seeing people from China walking around. That's how deep the hole was. And you said, they promised, the city said, it will be fixed in time for the parade. And I think I said something like, I'll put $10 down as a donation to the parade if that thing is fixed. So I'm going to owe that bucket 10 bucks.
I thought you said you were going to buy me dinner, but...
No, I didn't say that. The So anyway, it looks like it's going to be finished. I pass it every morning on the way in. All the concrete's been laid down. I don't know what more they have to do. But it looks like they kept their word. It's going to be ready by Thursday.
It better be. Last thing I need is a float going down into a sinkhole.
Down to China.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wanted to get some things in.
Well, yeah, let's...
About the Fourth Fest Parade.
We have, I think, 117 entries this year. So it's going to be a pretty big parade. And we try to make sure that the entries are quality. You just can't come down the street driving a pickup truck with nothing there and, you know, a little sign saying Joe's Antique Shop. You know, if it was a vintage pickup truck, maybe, but just, you know, just a pickup truck or a dump truck. Now, it's you got to have something of value to be in the parade. We have some returning favorites like the Dancing Horses from La Tapatia.
Oh, I love those.
You know, and my favorite has always been the bronze statue floats, Iwo Jima and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a kid, they terrified you because they were real people on there, you know, standing still, and it was kind of eerie. But
and then they look at you.
Yeah. But it's been one of my favorites every year to see in the parade. A neat thing that happens is when the different military units pass the VFW hall across from Marsh Meredith there, they stop. And I know in the past they used to do a gun salute. I don't know if they're still doing it, but it was really cool. They would face the VFW with their flags, and they would dip their flag to these veterans. So, you know, that's one of those things that most people don't see unless they're over there. But being able to traverse up and down the parade route, you see a lot of neat things. Really cool to see all the people dressed up, the little kids in there. Patriotic red, white, and blue. Some people dressed up as Uncle Sam and colorful. Still waiting for you to wear more than just your dull, neutral colors you wear.
Who's the honorary Grand Marshal this year?
Ah, it's not Don Rosen, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not me. I'll be in the front. We'll talk about that in a moment.
It is Joey LaGath and his wife, Anna. Joey and Anna LaGath, who own Joey's Yardarm,
oh, yeah.
Bucket's Pub, yeah, Joey's yeah, yeah. West. Joey is one of the... Joey and Anna. There wouldn't be a Joey without Anna. And Joey and Anna are two people that are just tremendous supporters of everything Racine. They are generous financially to different causes, donating to different events, and just so positive. And when we looked at who would be a great Grand Marshal, who has done something, you know, for the city of Racine that is extraordinary, and Joey and Anna came to mind. They've been longtime supporters of the parade. not the only reason, but just so many other causes, so many other events in town. So we're proud to announce that Joey and Anna LaGath are going to be our honorary Grand Marshal. And some past Grand Marshals, Leroy Butler, Karan Butler, no relation. A couple years ago, we had the O&H family. I think the Racine Raiders were honorary Grand Marshals at one point. So it could be a celebrity, it could be an organization, or it could be individuals that just do extraordinary things. So we're proud for that. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Fourth Fest, it's Mr. or Mrs. Fourth Fest, not Mr. and Mrs. Fourth Fest. That goes to somebody that has been involved in the parade, who's really helped out over the years. And this year's honoree, Mr. Fourth Fest, is one of our board members, Kevin Gonzalez. And Kevin had taken over fundraising when a guy by the name of Al Volmet retired from the board.
Yeah, I know Al, yeah.
And Kevin's niche was creating events. We put on a lot of smaller events throughout the year. We don't make as much money as, let's say, calling up Don Rosen and getting a $10,000 donation from him.
I said $10.
But it's much harder to get those large donations in a single, you know, from a single person or a single, even a business now. So we do these smaller events, and Kevin introduced quite a few new ones. He's been involved in, at the end of the parade, he's sitting there waiting for us to show up with our golf carts, and he helps tear it down and put the supplies away. So he's just done a lot for the organization. We really appreciate his involvement in everything he's done. So Kevin Gonzalez is going to be Mr. Fourth Fest.
We will be, I will be with Lou Regani in a classic car, a Crosley. You ever see one of those?
No.
I'll show you a picture in a minute. It's a classic car from the 40s.
Nice.
And it's different looking. It's called a Crosley. And he's got a blue Crosley, and we're going to be in that. And it's different looking. It's
nice. Yeah. Is it a convertible?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Convertible Crosley.
And the question is it going to make it down the parade route without overheating?
It's fine. It's fine. He takes care, good care of his classic cars.
I've known Lou Regani since I was in college. I had a TV program.
I thought you were going to say in diapers.
No, I had a TV program, and he enjoyed going over to Jones Intercable at the time, and he knew how to do all that technical stuff. So someone said, you should get a hold of Lou Regani. He'll produce your show. And sure enough, one time we took cameras up to the Riverside. We had a backstage interview with Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, Morton Downey, yeah.
And Lou couldn't get the camera working. It was a great interview, and he couldn't get the camera working. So all I got is a picture of Morton Downey Jr. and I.
David Mack is here. You're going to hang in here. We have our movie segment coming up with Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. And I'm going to tell you about a movie trailer. I mentioned this yesterday that I saw with a new Tom Hanks movie. We'll talk about this with Brett. I think this is going to be a fabulous movie. We'll talk about that coming up. Brett Hoffman in just a moment. It's 7:30. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for joining us here at Local News and Timeless Hits, WRJN. It's news time.
Good morning from the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom. Chris Morrow in for Stuart J. Waddles this morning. Well, last week we got rained out with breakfast on the farm out near Burlington. This week it's rescheduled for tomorrow morning. Breakfast on the farm scheduled at the county fairgrounds in Union Grove from 7 to 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. The ticket price, $10, includes a big breakfast and all kinds of fun things. The good news on this one is, even if it keeps raining tomorrow morning for a while, the Breakfast on the Farm event's being held in the barn. A Mount Pleasant man has been accused of invading a woman's home and threatening her with a baseball bat and knives. The man, who is 53, was charged late last week with armed burglary, criminal damage to property, carrying a concealed knife, and disorderly conduct. Of course, those are felonies. If convicted, he could be fined and sentenced up to 15 years in prison or both. A few other charges in there are misdemeanors. Apparently, it happened during an active burglary call about 12:45 in the morning, back in the 800 block of Jackson Street. The trial has been set for next month.
I caught this story from the Racine County Eye this morning. People who tune into the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in the middle of July will have a chance to see a familiar face on the big stage. Racine native Ben May, a 2000 graduate of St. Catharines High School, has been a full-time MLB umpire since 2022. He was named earlier this week to work his first All-Star Game. He'll be on the left field side for the 94th annual Midsummer Classic between the American and National Leagues. It's going to be played in Texas on July 16th. And a contest once described as a hooligans game played by gentlemen will take over Kenosha's Kennedy Park this weekend. It's a rugby tournament happening next to the lakeshore running all day tomorrow. It's the 24th annual Harborfest Sevens Rugby Tournament. It's organized by the Kenosha Mammoths Rugby Club, with the event listing saying they want people to come watch, get interested in the game, and enjoy some post-game pork. There's more on the Visit Kenosha website if you want to find out more about it. Well, it could be kind of a 50-50 weekend. Our forecast details coming up here in just a bit. That's what's happening in news this morning. In for Stuart J. Waddles, I'm Chris Morrow. We do have news for you at the top and bottom of every hour, or if you miss it on the radio, catch it on demand at WRJN.com.
All the time and money invested in the UW School of Veterinary Medicine's renovation, finally paying dividends. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and they celebrated that this week down in Janesville. Christy Thorson is the Associate Dean for the Advancement and Administration of the Veterinary School of Medicine at UW-Madison, and she says they've moved in to some of the new space.
I mentioned that just within the past couple weeks, we started seeing patients in our north building, and that allows us to free up space so that we can continue and finish renovations in our existing south building with the clinic. We're also completing our large animal arena addition later this summer, and we will be expanding and modernizing our large animal isolation facility as part of this project as well. And that's really important because we are the only facility in the state that offers a large animal isolation facility, and that's very important for the animals that we care for.
Christy Thornton, she is the Associate Dean at the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. Remember, beginning on August 1st, the UW School of Veterinary Medicine has a new dean arriving from Texas A&M. That's Dr. John Levine. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a finally Friday morning. Well, corn and beans are up. Numbers are next.
Introducing Certain Herbicide, the latest corn innovation from BASF. It brings powerful PPO residual chemistry into a pre-through early post application thanks to novel solid encapsulation technology. Apply from pre-plant to V3 and get up to 8 weeks of residual control or suppression of 79 broadleaf and grass weed species. Don't chase weeds all through the season. Attack them before they emerge with Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and giant ragweed. Left undisturbed, they will become the most dangerous foes to corn plants. But in the early season, these weeds are at their weakest. Now is the time. A predator lurks. Certain Herbicide attacks, unleashing full residual power before weeds have a chance to emerge. Pre or early post application, they are hopeless against such effective chemistry. Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
On Thursday, barrel cheese dropped 2 cents to 188. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 3 at 191, while AA butter gained another penny and three quarters. It's back to 310 and three quarters per pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is unchanged, 1956. August milk is down 4. 2020 a hundredweight. So far, the December new crop corn contracts up 2 at 435. November new crop beans are up 7.5 right now at 1112. July new crop wheat, that's down 2 at 557 a bushel. There's your quick market update on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers today. Our high 77 this afternoon with wind out of the south at 10 to 20. Rain and thunderstorms tonight, 68. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 85. Then on Sunday, sunshine with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Doctors always find other stuff wrong. You know, I come in there for a chest cold, came out with diabetes. I was mad as hell. I said, diabetes? I don't even know how much diabetes. sweetest cost. You ain't got no price list or nothing up here. I'm talking about, don't worry about it. We'll put you on the diet. I said, man, look at me. Do it look like I follow diets well? Now I gotta eat oatmeal without no flavor. I might as well eat the box. And every time I order a Diet Coke, they always repeat it like they can't believe me. Diet Coke? You heard me the first time. And I gotta eat everything I wanna eat before 8 o'clock. I be cooking like a son of a gun at 7:30. Hurry up, it's 7:45. I ain't gonna get to eat, oh God. And I gotta go to bed hungry. I be looking, having nightmares. I'm eating food I ain't supposed to eat. I had a nightmare. I ate a gigantic Rice Krispie treat. When I woke up, my mattress was gone.
And say hello to Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. Hi, Brett. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dan.
And we have our alderman and Fourth Fest board member sitting in today as well, because he's a big movie goer. David Mack, say hello to Brett.
Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, sir.
Okay, here we go. How come he gets sir and I don't get that? Okay, we have two new movies hitting the screens. Actually, we have more than that, but the two main, the big releases, that's what we'll do first.
Yeah, the first one is a really big one. We've been talking about it. It's finally out, and I'm very excited to talk about it. It is Horizon, An American Saga, Chapter 1. This is the movie that was written, directed, produced, and stars Kevin Costner. It's a Western that spans 15 years post and pre-Civil War, and it's about the expansion of the American West. And let me tell you, I've seen this movie. I saw it weeks ago. I've been dying to tell people about it. I loved how this looked on the big screen. It looks amazing. It was shot in Utah. You see these awesome panoramic vistas. Costner paints pictures with characters, and he's also got music that just really makes you feel as if you're alongside the journey with people as the West is being discovered and being settled. I would recommend this movie to anyone, and Kevin's really doing an interesting thing here. First of all, he fronted a lot of the movie with his own money. Second of all, he's releasing Horizon Chapter 1 today, and then we're going to see Horizon Chapter 2 in August. That's something that usually hasn't been done. So you get two movies. They're both about 3 hours apiece, and I'll tell you, I can't wait to see the second one in August because I'm really looking forward to it. So he's really taking a gamble here, Kevin is, but let me tell you, if you like Westerns at all or just like good dramas, you're going to like this picture.
And you got to meet Kevin Costner.
Yes, I did. It was really interesting having him talk about this journey and this experience. He's had this movie in his head for decades, and he's finally gotten the chance to make this work. So it's really interesting to watch and see. It's really neat to see him kind of make this passion project come to fruition. So good one to check out during either this weekend or during the holiday, you know, during the next week holiday.
I told you, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air, but I heard him in an interview promoting the movie, and he was telling the story about he went to Steven Spielberg. He wanted to direct and star in Schindler's List. He told Steven Spielberg, can I direct it? Now, this is Spielberg's project of a lifetime. This is the movie he was born to make, Schindler's List. And Costner said, can I direct it and star in it? Of course, he didn't, either one of them. And Costner said, well, it's a good thing because Liam Neeson just was Schindler in this movie. And he would have taken the movie in a different direction, he said, as director. But could you imagine the nerve of going up to Spielberg and saying, I want to direct the movie of your lifetime?
You know? Hey, yeah, why did you let me take this one, Steve? That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
And by the way, it was Spielberg was editing Jurassic Park on the set in Poland of Schindler's List. While at night, they would shoot during the day, and at night he would help edit down Jurassic Park. Two of the biggest movies of all time in the same year, at the same time. All right, go ahead. I interrupted you. All right, what's our second movie?
The second movie, A Quiet Place, Day One. This is a PG-13 kind of horror sci-fi mystery movie. We all remember the first two, A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place, Day One. Those were written and directed by John Krasinski and starring his wife, Emily Blunt. This one is the prequel to that. This is how that all happened. This time around, you have a director whose name is Michael Cernowski. He's a talented director who also helped with the writing. He's also a Milwaukee native. He's from Milwaukee. So Michael Cernowski Safdie does a great job on this. It's getting spectacular reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's about New York City. They come under attack of this alien invasion. And this woman named Sam, she finds herself trapped in New York City during the early stages of this invasion. And these alien creatures, of course, they attack or they get attracted to hearing because they have ultrasonic hearing. So when they hear sound, they come out. So this is kind of the prequel to The Quiet Place and Quiet Place Part 2, which we all really enjoyed. It's getting great reviews, and there's a lot of jump scares and a lot of things just like the first two movies that we all know and love.
I love them. Did you see those, Dan?
No, I have not.
You didn't see A Quiet Place? Oh, you're too busy watching the Garfield movie. I thought it was I thought the premise was excellent. And, you know, John Krasinski, who was Jim Halpert on The Office, it's hard to believe it's the same guy because he was such a doofus on The Office. And now he's now he's a great director all of a sudden. Now, he didn't direct this one, did he, or just produced it?
No, he produced it and wrote it. Marco Cernoski, you know, helped write and directed this one. Like I said, he's a great director. He's a Milwaukee native, so check him out. He does great work on this film.
Okay, and there is a third one we talked about before we went on the air. This is a smaller film. It's not going to be everywhere, but it looked good from I saw the trailer, and it looked good.
Yeah, this is a really interesting film. It's Daddy-O. It's rated R. It's about a cab ride that takes place from JFK Airport to Midtown. So Dakota Johnson jumps in a cab, and Sean Penn is the cab driver. And this is all about their conversations and what they reveal about their lives and the things they learn from each other in this drama. It's all about this cab ride that takes place about over 90 minutes from the trip when she lands at JFK to when they get to her destination in Midtown, New York. So really neat character study. And let me tell you, there's two people that really carry this, and that's Sean Penn and Dakota Johnson. So really neat movie. If you read all the reviews, check them out. There's reviews on Variety. There's reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. One would think, is there enough substance here in a cab ride to compel you during the whole 90 minutes? And the answer is, there certainly is. This is a neat movie if you want to go check out a drama.
Do you remember the movie? I think it was in the 80s, My Dinner with Andre. Do you remember that film? It had two guys sitting at a restaurant talking for 90 minutes. It got rave reviews. I remember Siskel and Ebert raved about it every week. My Dinner with Andre. I've never seen it, but the two people in there were well-known people. I forget who they are. Sean, I can't remember the guy's name now. He was a recognizable face. He was on Taxi. He was on a few other TV shows. And the other guy I'm not familiar with, but it was just two guys at dinner talking about everything for 90 minutes. And they said it was mesmerizing. And in a moment, we're going to talk about a movie that's coming out with one set, one room, one camera that never moves for 90 minutes. And it's got the biggest stars in it, and it's got one of the biggest directors running it. One camera, it never moves in one room for 90 minutes. Yeah, I know. I'm getting faces from Dave. Now, Dave is going to give a rave review for the Garfield movie. This is what happens when you have little grandchildren. This is what happens. Because I had to do this with my daughter. I took her to see such great classics as Here Come the Littles, Smurfs and the Magic Flute, which the Smurfs were only in the last 10 minutes of the movie. So I had to sit through all these horrible, horrible movies. Now, you saw Garfield, and the review, from your grandkids' point of view, how was it? Did he like it?
Well, I took my 5-year-old on an adventure, and so we went to go see the Garfield movie. His 8-year-old brother was disappointed because he was up in Sheboygan and didn't get to see it with us. But Tanner liked it, gave it 2 thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
His favorite character was Garfield.
Yeah.
And he has a cat that has a similar coloring, so he could identify. I love cartoons. I grew up with them.
Animated features.
Yes. Trying to get them into the Flintstones. Every once in a while, they see an episode that they like, but it's been a tough road because it's hard to compete with YouTube shorts and all this stuff out there. But I'm trying to give them an appreciation for animated features, for the old cartoons that we grew up on. And
how did the Garfield movie do, Brett? Was it a big win?
Yeah, the Garfield movie did actually very well when you take a look at it. And it's nearing $100 million at the box office, so it did very well for Sony Pictures releasing. Of course, Sonic Heels was David. A movie that everyone should go see, regardless of their age. Inside Out 2 is another excellent animated feature from Pixar that I would say right now maybe the top grossing film of this summer, but we'll see about Deadpool. Inside Out 2 just crossed $400 million. It is continuing strong. Next week we'll talk about Despicable Me 4 comes out. So Garfield is out there. It's still out there on screens, but you've got Inside Out 2 and Despicable Me 4 that are coming up. Inside Out 2 is out. Despicable Me 4 is coming out next week. So excellent movies there for the family. And I'll tell you, those are a couple movies there that you really can't compete with YouTube. These are true attractions to go see with the family.
Now, I don't know anything about production of animated features, but I can't believe it cost a lot of money to sit in a room with a computer putting together an animated film and getting some actors to sit in the studio and voice it, because you're not going out on sets. You're not going out. The weather doesn't matter when you do an animated feature like it does with an outdoor movie. Do you know what it costs to make one of those Pixar films?
Well, Pixar films are definitely up over $100 million in budget.
Really?
They are very expensive when you look at it. But, Don, here's the thing. Go back and look at some of the hand-drawn animation, and nothing against those because they do a great job with storytelling. But look at the detail that's involved in some of these Pixar films and some of these newer movies that are being released, and they are absolutely amazing, right down to the facial expressions, to the little hairs on everyone's head. Everything is so exact. I mean, this is another degree of filmmaking, and there's a lot of technology that goes into that too. Sure, it's people on computers, but there are a lot of companies every day that spend a lot trying to produce things with people on computers, and this is no different. When you look at the quality that they're putting out, I think if you go back 40 years and show people and went back in time and showed people this, they'd be amazed that this is not real life.
We're gonna stay with Brett Hoffman. Mike Clemens is off today, so we're going to stay with Brett. We're going to talk about more with movies. David Mack is sitting in today as well. And keep it right here, WRJN, local news and timeless hits.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Summer's heating up, and so are the deals at Studebaker's in Racine. Fuel up and feast. When you purchase 10 gallons of gas, you'll receive a coupon for a free two-topping pizza right next door at the Dish Restaurant. That's right. Fill up your tank, check out the refreshing sips and snack sensations, and grab your free two-topping pizza coupon for the Dish. Offer valid while supplies last. See store for details. Swing by Studebaker's Fuel and Food at 31 in Spring, Racine's home of convenience, selection, service, and savings.
Von Hassel Jewelers is an American Gem Society retailer, a certified gemologist appraiser, and graduate gemologist, serving Racine, Kenosha, and the Milwaukee area for over 20 years. Whether you need custom jewelry design, repairs, the newest in jewelry fashion, or appraisals for insurance, estates, and more, their experience is remarkable. Von Hassel will come to you at the bank, attorney's office, or other jewelry stores across the Midwest. Open Tuesday through Friday and by appointment on Saturdays in downtown Racine. Qualified, educated, knowledgeable, trusted. That's the Von Hassel way.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk. Huh? Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Racine's incredible Fourth Fest is coming up fast, and WRJN invites you to help kick off the celebration this Saturday at Ives Groves for a fun day of golf supporting the parade. For $120 per golfer, you'll play 18 holes and then enjoy a delicious lunch and dinner at Route 20. Racine's Fourth Fest Parade is the crown jewel of Midwest parades, and anything you can do to support it is welcome. To get signed up for golf this Saturday, call Lou at 262-620-4274.
And we're talking to Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters, and David Mack is here, our alderman, also one of the board members of Fourth Fest. And Brett, I want to talk about this movie trailer I saw yesterday. We talked about it. I mentioned it on the air the other day. It's the movie called Here, H-E-R-E, comes out in November. It stars Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, who are both in Forrest Gump, and it's directed by Robert Zemeckis, who directed Forrest Gump. But the strange thing is, it takes place in one room with one camera that never moves. And they de-age Tom Hanks and Robin Wright in this film. He looks like he did in the movie Big. Have you seen the trailer for it?
I've seen it. It looks amazing.
I mean, they de-aged both these people into young people, and they get older and older and older. But they show, the house being built, and then this camera. That is a... When he told the executives who funded this movie, I'm using one camera and I'm not going to move it for 90 minutes, they must have said, you got to be kidding. But it looks like it's going to be a good movie. That comes out, I think, in November, around Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, this comes out in November. The movie is called Here, and it's really about a place, because this takes place, it shows basically a place and then that place over time. And it tells the story of multiple families and generations that basically interact in this single location over time. It's actually based upon, there is a graphic novel that this was based upon that was the premise for this, but really interesting concept that you're following the you're fixated on the place, and you're following characters as they come in out over a course of time. And as you mentioned, this reunites Robert Zemeckis, or the writer Eric Roth, Tom Hanks, and Robert Wright, who were so spectacular in Forrest Gump, which is around 30 years old. I don't think you can go wrong with this, but really neat premise, and I'll bet on Robert Zemeckis any day. I think this one's going to be really neat, and if anyone hasn't checked out the trailer, just go to Google, type in Here trailer, and you'll be able to watch it.
That's H-E-R-E. By the way, so we got a movie that takes place in a cab for 90 minutes. We've got a movie that takes place in one room for 90 minutes. I mean, it sounds, but they could be fascinating movies if they're done well. And on the trailer, I'm not going to ruin anything because it's in the trailer. At the end, they aged them, Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. And it looks like they're at their end. And in the trailer, he says, would you like to live with me, be here with me? She goes, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, when they're young adults. And at the end, they're old people. They raise their kids, their grandchildren, everybody's raised, and they're in that same room again where they, you know, made a commitment to get married. And it's a teary-eyed moment, and that's in the movie trailer. I can't imagine what the movie's like. So that's on my must-see list. I don't have a lot of movies on a must-see list. I like a lot of movies, but that's must-see. And again, you can't go wrong with Tom Hanks. I mean,
well, that's what I said. We could watch him in virtually any role and enjoy him. And as a matter of fact, here in the Midwest, his last movie, A Man Called Otto, was one of the highest-rated movies of last year. So when you look at him, he is so versatile, and this concept is so neat that it's going to bring joy to all of us during November.
Even News of the World, I thought, was a good movie. It came out during COVID. So, News of the World I liked. The only one I questioned was The Lady Killers, the remake of that Lady Killers movie, the British film. He starred in that. He was good in it, but it wasn't one of my favorites. But when you look back at the history of Tom Hanks in the movies, I mean, That Thing You Do, I can watch that over and over and over again. I never get tired of watching him in that film. But my favorite movie of all time, and you ask my daughter, she'll say, all you did was watch this over and over and over again. The Burbs. I saw it in the movies, and then I got the VHS, and then I got the DVD of The Burbs. Now, do you remember that film? Either one of you? Remember that with Tom Hanks?
I remember it very well.
You don't, so. David?
I remember it, but I didn't watch it over and over.
Oh, I love that movie. It, with the crazy neighbors. I mean, it's basically about a guy who has nothing to do all day long on his vacation. And he gets involved with his friend, and they're staring at the crazy neighbors across the street, watching the neighborhood, you know, getting involved in it. And it turns out it's a very funny movie, very good film. It's a young Tom Hanks in there. I think it was from like 86 or something like that.
Yeah, that was in 89. It was the year after Big came out, actually. So if you think about how young he looked in Big, even though grown-up Tom Hanks in that movie, it was the year after that one. But he's been in countless ones. And the funny thing about Burbs is you're always on edge. You always think that he's crazy.
I know.
he does a great job portraying that crazy neighbor role.
And the ending is terrific. the whole ending where the house blows up, it's good. I want to ask, is there a trend now with part ones and part twos? You mentioned Horizons got a part one now with, it opens up today with Kevin Costner. Part two is in August. And they're doing the same thing with the movie Wicked. Part one this year, part two next year. Is this like, is this the trend, parts one and two?
Well, I think we've always seen that, though, Don. You know, you go to other movies that release, and some, you know, Back to the Futures, there was a 1, 2, and 3. Some of these things are trilogies. I just think right now they're actually stating part 1 and part 2 or chapter 1, chapter 2. But movies have always had continuations. They've always had sequels. It's just now they're really thinking about them when they're filming the first one. So when you think about it, they're filming a lot of these at the same time, which they might not have done before. So they're telling people that there are this many lined up. Whereas before it was, let's put in a movie, and if it's any good, then we'll do, you know, 2 and 3 based upon people's reactions. So I just think that's what you're seeing. And I think the right movies deserve that. You and I have talked about that. This Horizon was always a four-part vision for Kevin Costner, and he's done the first two. And Wicked is just such a big story that there's that much to tell. So I think that's what's going on right now.
See, but I thought the difference with Back to the Future, every movie, each of the Back to the Future films, was contained. They had a beginning, a middle, and an end. With Wicked, you're going to get the middle, and then you got to wait to get to the middle and the end a year later. I don't know. I saw Wicked in Chicago on stage. And I thought it was fabulous. I can't imagine breaking it into two pieces, but I mean, that's the way they did it.
I would think about it this way. Think about The Lord of the Rings. I mean, they had to do that Tolkien story in three movies. Yeah. So when you look at things like that, some things just require some more time.
And we still can't figure out, David Mack said he saw a movie with his wife just 3 months ago, you said it was?
Yep.
And he can't remember the name of the movie.
Does he remember what it was about?
No, he doesn't remember anything about it. He had like some kind of memory vapor was sprayed in his face when he left the theater, and he can't remember. Now you asked,
it was probably a movie she wanted to see, and I didn't, so.
Oh, so you blocked it out?
I'm not sure. Okay. I remember taking the grandkids to see